Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Lawnview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, have you ever felt inadequate? Have you ever felt inadequate for any given particular situation out there? I think if we're all really honest, we all have had moments in our lives where we really just feel inadequate. I know one of the times I feel the most inadequate, unqualified, or simply ill-equipped is when I am in over my head in a particular situation. When I just have gotten myself overcommitted, I'm in over my head. It happened to Jesus' disciples once. Jesus had taken Peter, and you'll remember he took Peter and James and he took John up to the mountaintop, the transfiguration story, remember that? They went on a little side trip, and while they were up there having a mountaintop experience, the rest of the disciples were kind of down here. You know, they were still doing things. Jesus and his little group of guys went on that little field trip up there to the mountaintop experience. The rest of the disciples, they got into a situation where they were over their heads. They just quite simply got in over their head. There was this boy who was possessed by a spirit. This spirit had robbed this young man of his speech. And at times, this spirit would violently throw this young man to the ground. And sometimes, this spirit would even try to throw this young man into the fire, trying to kill this young man. The boy's father was desperate, and he had heard that Jesus' disciples were in town. And so he said, "Oh my goodness, Jesus and his posse are in town. So while they're here, I'm going to see if Jesus can do something about this." So he took the boy to the disciples. And he was hoping that they could do something to save his son from this spirit. But no matter what the disciples tried, the spirit would not leave this young man. Everything they tried, every trick that they saw Jesus pull, they tried it. They tried to do it, but nothing seemed to work. And there were people gathering around. This was becoming a spectacle. They were in over their head, and it wasn't like they were doing this in private in somebody's living room. This was out in the middle of the community. And so people are gathering all around, watching this spectacle, watching the disciples as they kind of wallowed in the deep end. You know, they were in over their heads. And finally, in the midst of this struggle, they're on the struggle bus trying to do this, but they're in over their heads. Finally, Jesus, Peter, James, and John return from their field trip on the mountaintop, and Jesus removes the demon from the young man. That was pretty dramatic. Right there in front of everybody, a real live exorcism of a demon from this young man. And so later, everybody kind of disperses, and you know, Jesus and his posse are gathering around, and the disciples are like asking Jesus, "Why couldn't we drive out that demon? We tried everything, Jesus. We just couldn't do it. We tried everything that you've done. We just tried to do exactly what you did, and it just wouldn't budge. I mean, we just had no authority here, and that demon wouldn't leave. Why couldn't we drive it out?" And Jesus basically, he looks at them and he replies and says, "You guys were in over your heads. You were in over your heads." That kind of spirit, he's like, "I'm the rabbi here. You are the students." He's like, that kind of spirit only comes out by prayer. And Jesus knew what the situation was, and he knew what it would take for them to be successful in removing that demon. He's like, that one takes prayer. You just can't say go, leave. You know, you're going to have to pray over this. And that kind of spirit can only come out by prayer, by connecting here on earth to the right resources in heaven. It was a humbling moment for the disciples, and I'm sure that it was one that they would never forget. Jesus was, in that moment, he was preparing his disciples. He was teaching them. Jesus was teaching them so that they would be prepared to emerge into something new after he was gone, because he knew he wasn't going to be around all the time. Yes, it was a big deal that the Son of God was walking on earth with these men, but Jesus was trying to help them see that something even bigger was right around the corner. Something even bigger was right over the horizon. Something even bigger is just out of sight. Just can't get a glimpse of it yet, but it's coming. And Jesus wanted them to be ready for it. And Jesus, guess what, Maplewood? Jesus wants you and I to be ready for it also, for that new thing that is coming in our lives. We've been locked up. We've been pinned down for the past 14 months by this pandemic. But now we are all together emerging from the pandemic, emerging into the next chapter of our lives. For some of us, that means going someplace else, like to Arkansas. God moving us, opening doors, and that's okay. And we're going to miss the Coxes, and we love you guys, and we thank you for all that you have done for our church and with us in our fellowship. You are a part of us, and we will always consider you welcome and a part of the Maplewood family. We hope to see you online out there. just so you know. But we've been all locked up, and we are poised as a church and as individuals to emerge into the new thing that God wants to do in our lives, in our midst. The question for all of us, are we ready? Are we ready for the new thing? Will we be poised to be effective as individuals and as a church? Or will we be found unprepared, in over our heads, like the disciples were in that story that I just shared, which you can find in Mark chapter 9 if you'd like to go read more about it. Now, we've been looking to the early church for lessons that we can learn as we emerge into this new day, this new chapter that we're all entering into. And this week, we turn to those final days when resurrection Jesus was on earth. And we find him in Acts chapter 1. He's advising his disciples. He's advising them that in order to emerge into the new thing that God was going to be doing, they were going to have to overcome their inadequacy. They weren't going to be able to deal with it on their own. They were going to have to overcome their own inadequacy. You see, on our own, each and every one of us, on our own, we are all inadequate for the task that God calls us into. It's just the truth. We are all inadequate for the task God is calling us to. We may have loads of talent, but we're inadequate. We may have loads of spunk, loads of personality, but we fall short. We may have loads of willpower. I'll just make it happen. But it simply isn't enough to get the job done through the lens of the kingdom and to produce kingdom results. We are just like those first disciples and those followers of Jesus. In and of ourselves, in and of our own resources, we are inadequate. I want you to hear this. This is the situation analysis. We are inadequate to emerge and embrace the new thing that God wants to do in our lives and in our faith community. When you're like, Pastor, that's not very inspiring this morning. But it's the truth. We're inadequate to do it. We need something more in order to be up for the task. Amen? We need something more. We need a power, a resource from outside of us to come into us to make us able, adequate, and effective into that which God is leading us. We need a power from outside of us to come into us, to transform us. It's exciting to anticipate the new thing that I'm excited about. Hey, what's in the future for Maplewood? You know, what's in our future? It's energizing. It fills us with enthusiasm. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to go. You know, we're just standing on the sidelines. We're like, just, you know, we're like coiled and just ready to pounce on the opportunity. And in our excitement, in our enthusiasm, it's very possible for us to jump the gun, to go a little early before we're ready. And in our excitement, in our enthusiasm, as we jump the gun, the results fall flat. We wind up being disappointed. Things just turn into a mess. because we are inadequate. We try to do it on our own. Sometimes all that effort doesn't, it just doesn't make things happen the way we'd like for them to, and it doesn't unlock the kingdom potential that God has in mind for each and every one of us. But it, you know, but it's nothing like what happens when we are filled with the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's what we need. That, and that's what happened. That's what's happening in Acts chapter 1 is we're trying to learn from the early church. And Jesus knew he was his time to leave the disciples. It's coming fast. Time is running short. And he remembers that time that he left them to go up on that mountaintop with Peter, James, and John. He remembers what happened. Failure for them. That group was not ready. They were not up to the task. They were in over their heads. But now, here's Jesus. He's heading to a different mountaintop. He's getting ready to ascend. By the way, Ascension Day, this is Ascension Week. We celebrate the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Jesus is getting ready to ascend to a different kind of mountaintop, and he knew that he wasn't going to be back for a little while after this ascension. He also knew that the disciples were not going to be left alone, left powerless, or left to their own inadequacy. He knew it. He knew what was coming. Because you see, friends, when we are poised to emerge into the new thing that God wants to do, God doesn't just call us. God equips us. Do you hear that? God doesn't just call us. God equips us. Amen. If he's going to call us into something, he's going to equip us and enable us to be effective. And we see that happening. Acts chapter 1 is where I want you to turn to in your scriptures this morning. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about many times, because I'm not going to leave you here all by yourself. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So as I read that passage, as I've been reflecting on it, what are the lessons that we can learn? I think there are three directives that I would just quickly want to cover with you this morning as we look at this. First directive out of this very familiar passage in Acts chapter 1. First directive, don't get ahead of the Holy Spirit. Don't get ahead of the Holy Spirit. I'm excited. I know you're excited. I know we're full of energy and enthusiasm looking for what's next. But Jesus commands us to pause, to wait. The disciples needed to wait to receive the power of the Holy Spirit before they made any next moves. You know, Jesus was like, just wait. Wait for it. Wait for it. Why is that? Why did Jesus tell them to wait? Because Jesus knew that left to their own power or left to their own personality, they simply would not have what it would take to make a meaningful kingdom impact on their own. They just didn't have the personality or willpower to do it on their own. They were inadequate, even though they knew Jesus. I mean, they were his disciples. They were in the inner circle. Even though they had this close relationship with Jesus, who else would be qualified to change the world? Jesus said, even you guys aren't qualified, even though you're my disciples. You're part of my posse. But even you guys aren't adequate. It's not enough to know me. It's not enough to know me. You need something more. They didn't have what it would take yet to make a meaningful difference on their own. Nor do we at times. If we're not fully aligned with God in our hearts, we need to wait before we move. Because Jesus, I believe, in this passage is teaching us that the only way to overcome our inadequacy is to prayerfully wait for God to move. It's the lesson that it's hard to wait. I hate to wait. Anybody like to wait? Anybody get really irritated when they have to wait? Yeah, come on, let's be honest. None of us like to wait, but Jesus says, you got to wait. You got to push pause. I know you're anxious. I know you're ready to go, but you got to wait. Wait. Slow down. Smell the roses. So many of us are living into tomorrow. All the time in our heads, we're living into tomorrow. And we never take the time to really appreciate the blessing of today. Jesus is calling us to wait. Just enjoy my presence. I'm still here with you guys. Wait. Don't get ahead of yourself. So don't get ahead of the Holy Spirit. Second directive in here. Don't get stuck in old way thinking. Don't get stuck in old way thinking. Even though they had gone through all they had with Jesus, his disciples were still only able to anticipate a political revolution. We see it in their question, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is that what's going to happen now? You're going to take over the world. And then we'll all be powerful too, you know? And I'm sure that Jesus had to be just a little bit disappointed with them at this point in time. Here I am almost ready to beam up, and they are all still talking about overthrowing the government. You know? Their minds, the disciples' minds, were clouded by this world thinking. Within their own power and resources, they were not able to even conceive the new thing that God was about to do in their lives and through them. That new thing that was just over the horizon, they had no ability to even conceive what was coming. As God beckons us forward into our next chapter, Maplewood, I want us to get our minds wrapped around the fact that we need to have a little bit of an open mind about what God wants to do in and through our lives individually and our ministry as a church. We need to be open to new ways, new methods, new ministries, new approaches, maybe things we've never even considered before. Food trucks on Tuesday. By the way, Food Truck Tuesday, this Tuesday, old school barbecue. It's going to be with us. It was amazing to see the neighbors come out in this community last Tuesday. We got together. Some of you were here too. I got dinner and then I bought lunch for the next day. It was a great strategy. We had moms showing up who saying, I got ball practice tonight with my kids. I don't have time to cook. So they, you know, bought their food. They came by. New way. We connected with people I've never seen in our neighborhood before last Tuesday afternoon. New method. Thank you, Pastor Ed, for taking the lead on that. Amen. It's a cool ministry. We have to be open-minded to new ways to make connections, to be effective. But Pastor, if we just get back to the old ways, if we just get back to the way it was before the pandemic, that's all we need to do. And if we just try hard enough, and if we just will ourselves through the old ways, it'll be fine. I'm not saying we're not going to go back to some of the old ways. I want to make that clear this morning to you here in person, to the folks out online. We will be returning to some normalcy here over the next couple of months. All I think is that Jesus is asking us to do is this. And I want you to open your ears this morning, no matter what you're doing, because I think this is what God is calling us to do. This is all he's asking us to do. Can you have an open mind to the possibility of some new things, Maplewood? Can you have an open mind to the possibility of some new things that you can't even conceive of right now? Some new things that we can't even conceive of, because you need to wait for the Holy Spirit to come on us fresh and anew. We need to wait on the Lord. Let him move. He's already doing it in places, right? Food trucks, Arkansas. God's moving. God is working. And sometimes it doesn't feel like God's working, but God works for the good of all who believe in him. He works right through our circumstances. Deb, he's going to work through your surgery. I have all the confidence in the world. God, there's kingdom purpose that will come through that. He's going to walk with you. He's going to be with you. Kim, he's going to be walking with you through your situation. PJ, he's walking through and he's doing good things through your situation. And I could point to each and every one of you and say that God He's going to do things we could never imagine if we can open our minds and allow him to do it and allow ourselves to see that maybe something good could come out of this new thing that I never conceived before in my life. But only when we're filled with the Spirit will we be able to understand, emerge, and engage in this new thing that God wants to do with what we really need. Until the Spirit falls fresh on us, we are inadequate to even be able to imagine or conceive what God wants to do. Don't get ahead of the Spirit. Don't get stuck in old way thinking. Third directive, we'll wrap it up here pretty quickly here. Third directive, don't underestimate the power of waiting. Don't underestimate the power of waiting to unlock kingdom potential. Don't underestimate it. You see, the disciples in their inadequate minds, they were focused along the dimensions of what they knew. Jerusalem, Galilee, Israel, their kind of framework, the temple. They were in their minds, in their inadequate minds, they were focused only on what they knew. They were on the wrong track. All they had in mind was political revolution in Israel. Revolution! But here's Jesus saying, when you guys actually wait and receive the Holy Spirit, when you would take the time to wait, you got to wait. But when you wait and allow the Spirit to move, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, your impact is not just going to be limited to Israel. Your impact is going to be Jerusalem, you know, Samaria. What? We don't even like those people. The ends of the earth. What? What are you saying, Jesus? So your impact won't be limited to just Israel. It's going to change the world. In other words, when we wait on the Holy Spirit, when we wait for God to move, we are going to be able to take more ground for the kingdom than we could have ever imagined. What God wants to do right now in our lives and through our church is beyond what you and I can even imagine at this point in time. We can't anticipate it. We're not able to. We're simply inadequate. When we wait on the Spirit to fall fresh in our lives and on our church, the results are going to exceed our expectations. Men and women and children and families seeking Jesus, being saved. Right here in our neighborhood, people we're making connections with. You're like, oh, that'll never happen. Talk to Randy Myers. You know, Randy's one of those connections at Maplewood where he lives right next door. And this church, this faith family is a lifeline for him. Always has been, always will be. Children will be saved. Families will be reunited. People seeking Jesus in an uncertain world. Revival breaking out. Maybe this is the epicenter. Maybe 110 Longview Avenue is the epicenter for revival to break out in Springfield and in Clark County and Ohio and the United States. Who knows? Maybe they'll be writing history books about the movement, the Maplewood movement. Wouldn't that be cool? There were 12 disciples. There's 36 of us here this morning. I counted. And there are several more online. God can change the world if we are willing to wait and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we will take ground that we never expected. Maybe in ways that we never anticipated. Digital church, reaching the world. Oh my goodness, the opportunities abound. New mountaintops with Jesus in the Spirit. But only if we're willing to wait on the Spirit. Otherwise, we're going to be mired down. We're going to be inadequate. We're going to be unable to emerge into the new thing that God wants to do. We're going to be frustrated with each other. We're going to be frustrated with God. We're going to be stuck in our old ways. And I guess my ask of all of us this morning as I kind of wind this down, my ask of us first as individuals and collectively as a church, because we all make up the Maplewood Faith Family, is to be waiting prayerfully for God to move. Are you willing to join me in prayerfully waiting, seeking God to move in a new way at Maplewood? Are you up for it? Are you up for this? We are poised to emerge. Are you willing to enjoy to join me on this endeavor? We're going to wait. Yeah, we'll go back to some of the old things that we were doing in terms of ministry to keep things going, but there are new opportunities, folks. The Spirit wants to move. Are we willing to wait and allow the Spirit to guide and direct us in our hearts? Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we are inadequate. Father, we come to you this morning and we just admit it. We acknowledge it. We are inadequate on this May 16th, 2021. Without your Spirit, we're inadequate to move forward into the new thing that you want to do in our lives and through the Maplewood Faith Community. Lord, we want to wait on your timing. Lord, I pray that you would teach us patience in the days to come. Patience as we figure out how to deal with the lifting of health orders and how that's going to impact our ministry. Patience with each other as we figure out how to logistically do church in this new digital age. Just patience with each other in general with life as we're all just trying to figure out how to come back out of our shells. Lord, I pray that you would help us to get our heads around the fact that you want to do new things that maybe aren't even on our mind, aren't even something that we would conceive of right now. Father, I pray that you would help us to just be anticipating, taking new ground for the kingdom, individually in our lives, collectively, as we gather together our resources and our talents and our efforts here at church. Lord, we prayerfully come to you just as we are today. Some of us are in a great place. Some of us are okay. Some of us are struggling. Lord, we pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit to fall on us, to lift us up, to inspire us, to unify us, so that the glory of the Lord may rise within us. And may your kingdom be established and firmly expanded through our obedience. Father, we pray for that fresh outpouring and anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, may we be able to point back in time to this season, where it all started, where God ushered us into incredible new things. Lord, we'll wait with anticipation and obedience, with open ears and open hearts. We love you, Lord. Thank you for walking with us, and we thank you for what's to come. It's in Jesus' name all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.